to worship the Lord with all my heart, give Him my all, not just a part. I want to lift up my hands to the King of Kings and praise Him.
I got to the hospital, oh y'all, it was terrible, terrible. My mom had told me that there had been 20 doctors in my dad's room earlier, and they gave him like maybe 2 months to live, and they told him to get everything in order and ask him, if he'd prefer hospice, and started talking to him about hospice and life support and everything. And oh my God, my dad, he looked so terrible, hard to breathe, it's just like those little tiny breaths, and he was so weak and just ready to give up. And today he even told me he was ready to give up. And I was sitting there, shocked, like, oh my God, I'm ready to bury my dad. And I was like, no, like every time I would think about, funeral arrangements, and that's just what shouted inside of me, no. And so I told my mom, she was just crying and, blowing her nose, and my dad, he just looked like he was ready to stop breathing any minute. And I told my mom, I said, no, we're not giving up. I don't care what a doctor says. They don't have the final word. They don't have the final word. God has the final word. He makes the decision. I said, we can acknowledge what they say and what they think, but I know God. And I told her, I said, I believe in miracles, Mom. I believe in miracles, and I'm taking my dad out of this place. I am not leaving him here. He is not going. And so anyway, I went home, and I don't know, it seemed like I cried half the night, and just crying out to God. And Michael and I, we talked and we decided to fast. And then, I didn't take time off yesterday. I didn't know anything, until Monday night. And then my mom, she texted me and she said, they're willing your dad to ICU, and it's like, I don't care how bad this looks, I'm not believing. I'm not believing. I serve God. I serve God, and He performs miracles. He does. And y'all, I want to tell you, by the time that I got there to the hospital last night, He made a 360-degree turnaround. They put a port in his side, and Joe told me they put it in really deep to try to get the fluid. I mean, y'all just don't understand. His arm was huge. His legs, he just filled up with fluid. He didn't even look like him. And I tell the doctors, this is not my dad. I said, my dad has very long, skinny feet, chicken legs, skinny arms. I said, yeah, he's got a belly, but everywhere else, he's a skinny man, And because, they don't know him. They never seen him. And anyway, they put this port in him. And my mom, she sent me a text this morning. And, I mean, she was all doom and gloom. Like, she was ready to bury my dad. And, oh, God, y'all. Oh, if you could just know how 24 hours can change from night till day. Just 24 hours, God can make the biggest difference. That pump, it pulled out 34 pounds of fluid out of my dad's chest. 34 pounds of fluid was in his chest. No wonder he couldn't breathe. And then, later, he got pneumonia from all this fluid. My dad said that there was a very nice male nurse that stood right there. He said, and then this morning, he said, I feel like I coughed up about 10 more pounds worth of junk out of his lungs. Y'all, my dad, when I got there this morning and they were wheeling him out of ICU, doing so much better, they even got him out of the good bed they had him in. He's in a normal bed like everybody else. You ain't special. And so, and put him in a normal room all day long. I've been watching him, and his color is bad. His color is really good. I mean, he doesn't look green, like he's about ready to just die, and cutting up and being silly. And everybody who came in today was able to visit with him, and you. y'all, I just want to thank you all so much from the bottom of my heart for all of you praying for my dad. I appreciate it so much. You know, it's like the support and just encouragement from everybody and all the texts, all the calls and visitors and Brother Telly and Brother Daniels come and prayed for my dad today. Y'all don't know how much he appreciated that. And my brother and his friend come later, and he was even telling about y'all coming in and praying with them that it meant so much. And Brother Painter, oh my gosh, you know, just everybody that you worked with, all of them have been there and so many times. But, you know, it's like I felt really good. I did take all this week off. I'm like, you know, I told my mom, I said, it's hard to make that decision. I don't know what to do. But if they're going to have him on life support and he's not going to know I'm there anyway, I want to spend as much time with him while he knows I'm there, you know. And I'm like, I don't care about my PTO time, my bank or whatever. You know, if this is the last hours, last weeks I have with my dad, I want to be there, you know, to fetch whatever, fluff his pillow, whatever he needs, you know, to be there. But that's not needed. It is not needed. And I said, you know, I told my mom, I said, we just have to pray now. There is some kind of condition that's going on that's making that fluid. Now, he's got something pumping it all out right now. But they don't know what it's coming from, why that is. And Joe explained to me something about his body isn't producing protein or something. It's just not in his body at all. And so in the fluid that they are pumping out, it has some kind of infection, which, you know, they have them on antibiotics. And so we just need to pray, y'all, that, you know, that God, that the doctors, that God will give the doctors the knowledge to figure out what this is. Because I told my mom, I said, you know, we just need to get this fluid thing taken care of. And, of course, then the pneumonia is going to heal up and get him home. And then we'll just worry about the cancer. And also the doctors did say that there's no way his heart and his kidneys can handle treatment. And so I wanted y'all to know that a couple months ago when they were going to Baptist and that doctor was ready to put a port in here and started my chemotherapy and radiation, both of them right away. And the doctors at UAMS told us 2 days ago that it would have killed him immediately. He wouldn't have lived through that at all. So, but I know that God can do anything. And I mean, even when I was talking to my dad about, you know, it's like, Dad, you know, God's giving you more time. I said, you know, and they were laughing at me. Joe's like, you know, I said, until he can sing that song, it is well with my soul. It is well with my soul. I said, you know, I know we're humans and we're all going to die, you know, and it just killed me, you know, to think about burying my dad. And Linda, she came up to me and said she had a dream about a week ago that she said she saw my dad here in church with us. And I told her, I said, well, that's amazing, because I had a dream about 6 or 7, maybe 8 months ago that my dad was here in church. And y'all, I just remember that he was singing and he was so happy and he had so much joy in his face. I don't know how his health is going to be, you know, and maybe he will struggle. I do know people can struggle and live a good while with cancer, and God is able to do anything, you know. But if we could just, you know, get him to church. And Linda said that her and Brother Al went to visit him, and she told him about her dream, and he said, well, then, I guess I ought to go. Now, this is before the ICU and get your coffin ready. This was like Monday. Yeah, Monday night was the everything that happened really bad. But anyway, and so today, while Brother Daniels and Brother Tally were there, I just wanted another commitment from him. And I mentioned again, and Dad, and didn't he say, yeah, he's coming? Didn't he say that? Yeah. So, y'all, oh my and I've just, you know, things have just been flooding over me, you know, when I want to talk to my dad, it's like, you know, Dad, if the Lord gives you a little more time, and you, how many more years do you really expect to live? Why wouldn't you trade that off for life eternal? Why wouldn't you? That's like a no-brainer, you know. And so anyway, I just couldn't wait to get here today, because I'm telling you, you know, that like 2 days ago, I didn't even think I was coming to church tonight, because I was like, you know, oh no, I have to be there with my dad at his side, you know, and I never thought I'd be here tonight, I'm telling you, but my dad was all good, you know, he's talking about he didn't like the chicken, oh my gosh, you know, like he hasn't eaten very much in days, and I'm just so thankful, so thankful. And, you know, that my relatives that I have talked to today, you know, because we were really expecting the final, you know, the end. And what a miraculous turnaround God has done. And he's doing so much better. And like I said, he's made several comments, and he knows. He knows this is God. He knows this is God without a shadow of a doubt. And I just wanted to let you all know really how he's doing. It's better than sending 10,000 messages. And also, couldn't wait to give the praise report. Thank you all for everything. I love you.
Something that's kind of been running over my mind several times since Sunday was, I believe, Brother Phil, I think it was you, and if it wasn't, then whoever did, was talking about the different ones in the Bible, and the one that really stuck out to me was how God added 15 years to Hezekiah. And life for the last year has been a pretty hard struggle for me physically, and I was trying to not complain and not let it show on the outside, but it was horrendous on the inside. I've never been a person that's really been sick, and I watched my dad suffer for years. I watched my mom suffer for years. I watched him take medication after medication after medication, and I just always really tried to pray my way through anything that came along my way, you know, physically, emotionally, and everything. And finally, it just got to the point of being unbearable. And I noticed that I wasn't me, and that no matter how hard I tried to hold it in and hold it together, that I was just hurting. Sunday, I said something to Sister Gladys. Well, I'll backtrack. Dad had doctor's appointments last week, and his pulse has been running very low, and he mentioned it to me, and we decided I'd call the cardiologist and get him an appointment, and, well, they couldn't get him in until May, and I'm like, no, we've got to work him in. He'll be here these days, and so I got him worked in for next Monday, May the 30th, but he had to come and see his oncologist Friday, and we seen Dr. Khalil, and he asked what was going on, and we told him, you know, that his pulse has been running low, and he says, well, what have you done about it? And I says, well, I called the doctor and got him an appointment, and he said, what'd he say? And I says, well, we don't see him on the 20th, and he says, no. He says, you walk in, and you tell him you want to see him, but he checked his pulse and said, it's good, so keep the appointment on the 30th. And so I did. or we have. But during this process, I felt like God was answering prayer because I was really seeking the Lord for some answers for me, And I walked in church Sunday, and I told Sister Gladys about what I was going through, and I had went and had some labs drawn in course, and it's hard at times considering my family's history of everything, but my doctor had called me in to do a thyroid panel level, an extensive one, and I'd never thought about it. I look at Dad's medication list every time we go to the doctor, and he has a thyroid issue, and then my sister has a very bad thyroid issue, and I walked up to Sister Gladys to say something Sunday, and she says, "Sister Hannah, I think it's your thyroid." And I couldn't get in for a lab review until April the 1st, and so I was trying to hold out, and I was feeling so bad. There was no energy level. I could sleep 7 to 9 hours, wake up, and an hour later, I was bottomed out again. I was having to make myself function through each day. And then when I got through with that task at hand, no matter what it was, whether it was at work, whether it was at church, whether it was my dad, there was a retreat time that I knew I had to retreat and rest to make it through my next phase of my challenge, or my just everyday life. And so I remembered, I kept praying, and I remembered Monday, Dr. Khalil said, "Just walk in. Just when you're feeling that bad and they can't make an appointment for you, you just walk in." And so I got up Tuesday morning, and I was calling the doctor's office as soon as they opened. Well, I finally got through the switchboard and asked for my doctor's nurse. And I just told him, I said, "I know I have an appointment for March, for April the 1st. I said, "I need her to review my labs. I will come in April the 1st, but I need to know something today. I need to know if there's something in that lab review that we need to put me on, because I can't function, I am to that point." And so he looked at the labs and he goes, "Well, Miss Thompson, your TSH, T4, T3 is quite a bit off." And so I asked him, I says, "Well, can she call me in?" And he says, "Well, let me see if we can't get you an appointment." And so God had answered my prayer, and I was in the office Tuesday morning. That was Monday that I called. I was in there yesterday morning at 8 o'clock, and she went over some things with me and put me on the medication, so she said it'll take a couple of weeks to find out if we need to up it or whatever, she said. But I talked to her extensively about it, because a lot of times, especially the disease my sister has, you need to see an endocrinologist. And she goes, "We're not there. I think this is something that we could manage." But as I was just thinking about, just how God answers prayer, and you never know how, and you never know when. And I just sat here, and when Sister Julie was talking about her dad, and how Brother Phil, you had talked about how God had added 15 years, I sat here and figured it up, and God has added 38 years to my dad's life. 38 years, and so I just want him to know how much that, I appreciate him, I love him, how I want to be his servant, how I want to do his will in life. But more than anything, how much I appreciate him for always being there. Sometimes he doesn't answer the prayer immediately, but he always answers, and I so appreciate it.
praise the Lord. I'm thankful to be with y'all, but my heart is to be here, to fellowship with God's people. And as that first song is, I want to praise Him with all my heart. Give Him all of me. That's my desire. Ever since the Houston meeting, it has really changed something in me that, as they were talking about self. Of course, back years ago, even in the old church, we had Brother Nick Grut talking about the serpent and everything. But this is renewed because we've got a lot of new people in the body now that has probably never heard this message before. But it's good to refresh in your mind. No matter what age you are, you need to be reminded. And that song that they sung is to say goodbye to me. I want to say goodbye to me. I want to try to do my best day by day to walk in Jesus' way and to serve Him with all my heart. I love the Lord. It's good to be here, to see everybody. And I'm going to get to be here all week. And I'm thankful that Anna's here with me. And Holly will probably be here Sunday. So I've really been praying for certain situations that the Lord would deal with her heart. So there's nothing I can do about it, but it's all up to God. But it's good to be here and to see all of you again.
Good to be here tonight, and I really appreciated the good praise report, Sister Julie. And she's right. God has the last say about all this. It's nothing for Him to change anything. That not only He may not even be something He may not even be involved in, but faith can God cause God to change situations. And I'm thankful for that tonight. I just, on the way to church, I was thinking about what a marvelous time, you know, that we're living in. We could have been, I was really comparing where we're at with the law, when the Jews were under the law or the old covenant. I thought, my God, what a wonderful dispensation that we're in, that God has lifted us up above sin, that or at least the element or the nature of sin. And that we are not having to offer up sacrifices for our sins. He offered that up once and for all for us. My Lord, what a blessing that is. Do you realize that, saints? You could have been living in a time when you just could get forgiveness for sin, but you couldn't get rid of the sin nature. But here we're living in a time when you can be born of a sinless nature. And I was just thinking about that on the way to church. And after I got here, I was thinking about, I thought I might just read a little bit in the 6th chapter of Romans. You know, the 5th chapter starts off telling us that we're being justified, therefore being justified by faith. And that word justified is translated in other areas freed. you could read it this way. Therefore, being freed from sin by faith. It takes faith to believe this message. But not just faith alone, you know, but the experience of a new birth increases faith. The new birth comes by faith, through faith, but then each step that we take in God is progressive, and it increases faith. Anyway, I just thought I might read a little bit here. Romans 6 says, he's been talking about how the law came in, where that the offense might abound, or that it may be made more manifest, the of sin. And then sin, he said in the last verse, reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Then he says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism unto death. That's talking about Holy Ghost baptism. Dying out to the sin nature and being born of life, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. I'm just trying to get you to get a hold of this, where you could, you know, I've been talking a little bit on overcoming now. At least putting forth the effort to do all you can do, and by faith, believing God's going to do his part. I've got more faith in him doing his part than me doing mine. But I'm trying to have enough faith to do mine. And therefore, I realize that I need to reckon myself dead to sin, realizing that I've been born and I can walk in the newness of life, and that I can be planted. Verse 5, if we've been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be also in the likeness of his resurrection. You know, Jesus lived above sin in a resurrected life, but he also resurrected from the dead when he tasted death for all of us. And there is a life that I still believe in, highballing the graveyard. I still believe in getting out of here. I believe some people are going to be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. And their death, where is your victory? Sin, where is the sting of death? That's not going to be accomplished in some people's lives. Not everybody is going to die, but some are going to be changed. And I believe that happened in the early church. I believe it's going to happen down here, and it may not be very long that it's happened, or that it happens. Why? Could you believe it could happen to you? Have you got enough faith to believe that God can give you power to live in the newness of life? I'd just like to get your faith to rise up a little bit. Believe that you could live above sin. At least today. Let tomorrow worry about tomorrow. But why don't we live above sin today? Live it. Live for Him. Live in the newness of life. Walk in this Holy Ghost nature. Knowing this, that our old man, verse 6, is crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that's dead is freed. There's that word. It's translated justified. Also, it's translated here, freed. He that's dead is freed from sin. You've died out to the old man and been born of the new one. Reckon yourselves dead to that old man and alive unto the new. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with Him. Knowing that Christ be raised from the dead, dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over Him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. This takes faith. It takes faith to believe that you can live above sin. It takes faith to believe that you're dead to sin, that sin can't operate in you. But this is a walk of faith. This we're born to. We're called to this. And we know it. We understand that it takes a process, but I'm just trying to encourage you enough to get you to begin to try to exercise enough faith that you could live above sin, that you could walk in a high place with God, that sin wouldn't have any hold on you, that it wouldn't have any, that you could be dead to the sin nature, but alive unto this Holy Ghost nature. God, I feel that when I come in here, we get together and begin to sing, and God's touch begins to come in here. I still believe the Lord was trying to help us in the Houston meeting. I think Brother Wright's message was a message telling us that you can grow up. You can overcome the sin nature. You can do it. It's possible. And God seemed like He touched that vein in that whole meeting. And I'm just, I came away from that meeting feeling like a good renewal. You know, that there was good inspiration of the Holy Ghost and a good touch for all of us. I don't know how many of us has testified about, you know, coming back from that meeting with a special touch, you know, a feeling of inspiration and strength from God, and the manifestation of the Spirit that was there to obvious. It was obvious that God was encouraging us as a body of people, and that, you know, the message that we'd held on to all these years that this ministry's worked on, that it's coming to a greater place of fruition. And then let me read a little more. verse 12 says, "Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof, neither yield ye your members." See, there's something you've got to do as far as yield. You've got to yield over to. Once God gives you this new nature, for you to the sin nature to operate, you got to yield over to it. Because there is a new nature and there is a strength. Start working on this a little bit. Go back to the first chapter of Acts where Jesus told His disciples. He said, "Not many days hence you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost, and you shall receive power." I believe that there's power in the Holy Ghost. Power to live above sin, to live in this newness of life. And if you won't yield yourself to it, for he said, sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. By faith. If you believe God, it takes believing God that he is a rewarder of them that diligently search, seek him. That if you put forth a diligence and, try to work in every day to say, God, help me to live in this new man, this newness of life. Help me to have faith, to believe that I can do your will today, that your will can be performed in my life, and that I can live above and not yield. The Holy Ghost will give me power not to yield over to the conditions of sin. You know, Jesus, who was it? I can't remember. I was talking to somebody the other day, and I said, well, Jesus, I guess me and Brother Wagner were talking about it. I said, Jesus did what the Bible said when he was reviled, he reviled not again. I said, you can't tell me that he never did want to revile again. He probably had that sin nature maybe reviled, come up, people done him wrong and he did no wrong. And no doubt there's probably a little flesh in him from at some point that he, probably had a thought that he had to grab. He couldn't yield to it. That thought was there, but the Holy Ghost nature grabbed that thought and brought it into submission. He said, I'm not yielding to that. I'm not giving over to the old nature of wanting to do somebody wrong because they done me wrong, but I want to do good. I want to do what my Father would want to do. I want to love them anyway. And he wouldn't yield to that. He wouldn't revile again. Says, know you not? let's see. For sin, verse 14 says, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we're not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. In other words, you're not getting it. You're not getting what I'm saying. We're born of a new nature, and we've got the power and ability to live in a new nature, the nature of a sinless life. And we're not thinking along the lines of, we're no longer under the law, so, I wouldn't be, I'm not under sin, but grace forgives me. Well, yes, there's part of grace says that if any man does sin, we have an advocate with the Father. He's faithful. He's a great high priest. He will forgive you, and he will lift you up. He'll help you rise up in faith and overcome your downfalls. But that's what faith does. Faith says I'm up or I'm getting up. I'm not down and I'm not staying down. I don't live in woe is me. But I'm moving forward. I'm obeying him. I'm living for God. I'm going to live this overcoming life. I can. How's that song say that? I know I can. Jesus says I can. I know I can. Well, this word of God saying this. I'm reading it. And know ye not that to whom you yield yourselves servants to obey his servants you are. To whom you obey, whether sin unto death or obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that you were the servants of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered unto you. Being then made free from sin. My Lord, everybody say that. Free from sin. That sounds good, don't it? Tastes good. Free from sin. Being made free from sin. Woo. You became the servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness, iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members, servants, to righteousness unto holiness. He's saying you can do it. For when you were the servants of sin, you were free from righteousness. What fruit have you then in those things whereof you're now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now being made free from sin and become servants to God, you have your fruit unto holiness and end, the end, everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God, what a gift. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Hallelujah. This is good words, isn't it? Good, encouraging, faithful words that I can reckon myself dead to sin and alive unto God and live according to the gift, receive the gift of God. I realize that there's an end. There's an end. We read that in Hebrews the other day. There's an end to our faith, which is life eternal. That's the end of our hope. There's an end to this. You got to follow this pathway of faith to the end. You got to stay with to the end until finally you put off this old tabernacle and put on a new one, made of without hands. Praise God. I'm believing, saints, that we're called to live above sin, an overcoming life, and that the Lord is making it available. We're living in a time when God's helped us to understand the plan of salvation. We're not just, you know, believing that we can't find hardly anybody on this earth that believes they can live above sin. I don't know where another people is that believes it. We all have this same Bible. They're reading the same scriptures I'm reading. And of course, we take all these other scriptures in the New Testament and read it right along with this. And that's what helps us to know that, number one, there's a process to it. But there's also a restoration of that was lost. And God has been restoring. And look, there on the day of Pentecost, they didn't have as much knowledge as we've got today. They didn't. I mean, you just read it. They wasn't no sure. They weren't even sure what the Holy Ghost was or what it was for. Brother, we know what it is. We know what it's for. We know it's a new birth. We know it's a new nature. They didn't know what it was. They wasn't sure. They wasn't even sure a Gentile could get it till he got it. And they said, well, this is for everybody. The Holy Ghost had to begin to reveal to them these truths. But God revealed it to them, and it was available. And God has brought us a mighty long way. He's brought us a mighty long way to have such a depth of understanding of a restored church. And I'm still, you know, I'm still looking at these scriptures that I've been rehearsing with you that's causing us to consider that we're living in the sixth trumpet. The 30-year period and the 15-year period is in that sixth trumpet. And there's a third part of men gets judged in that time frame. There is a seventh trumpet that's going to blow. But let me give you a scripture just to go along with that. in Revelations, the 14th chapter. Let me give you just something real quick. And I'm not going to talk on the book of Revelation tonight, but just to rehearse this thought. to go along with what I am saying in Revelations, first in the 11th chapter, in the 15th verse, the seventh angel sounds. And that's where the nations are made angry and the wrath of God is coming. The time of the dead, there's a resurrection takes place right there in the seventh trumpet. But there may be some overcomers before the seventh trumpet sounds. That 15 years is, it looks like the sixth trumpet is a message that brings in the seventh trumpet message of judgment with it. But you can lay this 11th chapter starting in the 15th verse over with the 14th chapter. However, the 14th chapter in the 6th verse is this another angel flying in the midst of heaven having the everlasting gospel and the three messages that finishes this work of God. And it doesn't necessarily, this message right here is just a continuation. In other words, it's part of the last message of the sixth and seventh trumpet. But I never realized before, Brother Leninger, we never picked up on that those four angels released out of the river Euphrates included in the sixth trumpet that 30-year and 15-year period. And then there is a seventh trumpet that blows even after the sixth trumpet, and it brings judgment. And it brings life eternal and a resurrection is brought about in the seventh trumpet of those, the resurrection of the just. But wouldn't it be wonderful for the resurrection of the just step into an arena where there's white robes, white hairs in the horse, that they step into what same thing that the resurrection of the unjust is going to resurrect and see a white church, a great white throne judgment. My Lord. Saints, I think we ought to start believing God to the uttermost. Believing, Lord, I have faith that you can help me today, you can sustain me, give me power of the Holy Ghost to live in this sinless nature of the Holy Ghost. We've got enough knowledge. We know what sin is. We know what the power of sin can do. We can discern sin. I don't know, I'm not saying a brand new saint walking in here, but you older saints, you mature saints, don't you believe you could grow up? Don't keep leaning on the crutch thinking you got to yield to the flesh every day or at some point yield on it, because the church ain't restored. If you're not careful, you'll go into a restored church believing like that. But I believe we ought to live for Him today. We ought to reckon ourselves dead to sin. We're freed from sin by faith. By faith and grace and a restoration of grace that's been measured to us. Measured, there's been a great measurement of grace measured out to us. I'm feeling pretty good about preaching like this. I don't think there'd be anything wrong with preaching it 10 years ago, but I think it's in season right now. And so I just want to encourage you. Wake up every day. Look up in the sky. Say, God, I just happen to be one of your select, one of your elect that believes. And I have faith that you can help me reckon myself dead to sin today and live in the fullness of life. Hallelujah. Of this Holy Ghost nature. Bless His holy name. Amen. All right, I'll get down from here. Before I do, let's see. Brother and Sister Coles is coming Sunday night and bringing, I think there's about 10 of them coming. So I'd like to have a little snack or something after church in the dining room, Sister Ann, if we could get something fixed up for that. The God just doing that, because Brother Painter's, he's taking our youth down to Springville to the youth meeting, and I want them to go. I want them to get all this they can get. But it's going to kind of cripple us, you know. When y'all are gone, it hurts. So God's sending us help. There's 10 of y'all going, there's 10 coming. I want God to know how much we appreciate that, so I want to treat them good. I want them to just have them a little snack or something, get them a little taco or something to eat downstairs, have a little fellowship. He's got some new people, and we just want to help them, usher them into this. Hallelujah. If I could jump, I'd jump right now. I may tap my cane. I'm getting rid of this here pretty quick. I'm coming up out of this. I told you I'm up and I'm getting up. Anyway, I'm doing much better, feeling better, but it's kind of like this overcoming life. I'm not quite there, but I can feel it's working. Hallelujah! Glory be to God.
Brand new man. All things have passed away.
I'm in the 18th chapter of Revelation 11. The nations were angry, and now wrath is coming. The time of the dead. Now we're saying that's the resurrection of the just, that they should be judged, and that thou should give reward unto thy servants, the prophets, and the saints, and them that fear thy name. Small and great, and should destroy them that destroy the earth. And the temple of God was opened in heaven. And the 15th verse, up in the 15th verse, it says the seventh angel sounded. So here we're saying the seventh trumpet is the last prophetical hour, and that's when the seventh trumpet sounds, and that's when heaven's open. You're available to go into the Holy of Holies. And so, but what I'm saying, in the ninth chapter, these four angels loosed in the river Euphrates that were bound, and they're loosed for an hour and a day and a month and a year to slay a third part of men. I'm saying that is the restoration of Protestantism, 360 years, Holy Ghost or Pentecostal era of 100 years, 30 years of a restored church era, and 15 years of the last prophetical hour. They're all included in this sixth angel that sounds in the 13th verse. So I'm saying that even the 15 years, last 15-year prophetical hour, is included in this angel, one of the four angels loosed out of the river Euphrates, and a third part of men are slain. There's a judgment that brings judgment to this earth by this restoration that covers the whole restoration of the four time frames, and that's all the sixth trumpet. But the heaven's not really open. In other words, I'm saying there ought to be some people living above sin in this 30-year period. There ought to be some people that are putting on white robes. There ought to be some white hairs in the horse, that when the seventh trumpet does sound and there's a resurrection of the just, there's some overcoming lives. There's an overcoming message. There's people living above sin. And you're not going to put on eternity and put off this tabernacle until that seventh trumpet sounds, which is the last prophetical hour. But I'm just saying, it looks to me like that these four angels bring judgment, and it includes, the sixth trumpet includes all these four time frames, which brings us not only to a restored church, but even the last prophetical hour. That the sixth angel is bringing a message right into the last prophetical hour, but it's going to take that seventh trumpet sounding in that last prophetical hour to give us, for heaven to open and the Holy of Holies to be open to everyone. And so I'm just saying, somebody's going to live above sin. Why? We should be trying to live above sin. We should be striving. We should believe that we have power to live above sin. If you fall, you got an advocate. If you stumble, but you ought to be striving every day. You ought to not be yielding over to this. You've been born of an endless life. You can reckon yourself dead to this body of sin, the body of flesh. I believe we need to exercise a little more faith to get up there. In this place that I'm talking about. I can't, if there's more that we need revealed of more light, then God will reveal it. But we ought to be bumping up against, we ought to be bumping the veil up of second heaven. I think we ought to be touching it, bumping it, saying, God, let me in. I want to live above sin. I want the power to live above it, and I want to pass the test that I'm not gonna fall once I get in there. God's not gonna let you get in there till you're ready. But I think you ought to be diligently showing God, that's my goal. That's my sight is on the high calling. It's on the mark of the prize. Glory. Hallelujah. Makes me want to run. My foot gets well, I may outrun the whole shebang. Praise God. Let's give him a praise before we go home here tonight. Uh-huh. To where? I announced it. It is Saturday. It starts at 11 in Russellville. So any of you that want to go, well, I'm planning on going. I'm feeling, that it may be time that we reach out a little bit and try to bring greater unity to our area. I think there's a reason and purpose to hold back a little bit for a while, but I think it's time, and I'm reaching out and trying to feel on the Lord about that. So I want to make y'all free too. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. The Springville meeting. Watch over them and protect them. Help them, oh God. Touch this assembly this weekend. The Coles coming in their assembly, Lord, Sunday night. Oh God, let your grace overshadow us. Let your peace and your anointing touch this assembly, we pray. Amen. God, keep touching Brother Wilson, Sister Wilson. Help him, oh God, lift him up. Let him sit in this congregation. Renew his strength. Renew his faith, oh God, and help him, we pray. Hallelujah. Blessed be the Lamb of God. Hallelujah. Oh God. Praise God. Be praying for Brother Wallace, too. You know, he's going through a situation, but he needs our prayers, Brother and Sister Wallace. So keep praying for them, and also for Brother and Sister Weaver. Let's keep praying. And I believe God's able to add them back to this assembly and give them strength to make it. Let's pray that God will do that for them. Amen. Hallelujah.